Okay, what is up, insiders? Good evening. So, great to have everyone tonight. So, this is where I'm at for tonight. This is going to be a shorter cast. I likely will be flying solo tonight. Tark not feeling well, other folks, just in various locations tonight. So, I am going to do a catch-up very briefly. It's going to be a shorter cast. Appreciate folks joining in early. I tried to cast a little earlier tonight just for my own sake. It's easier. But so tonight is just going to be catching up for, the few conversation points that we've had over the last week. We did have that longer podcast with myself, Chris, and Stu. So please, kind of refer back to that. But I didn't get to cast last week, but I will make up for it with Modern Horizons preview starting Monday. That will be, so tonight's the 16th, so Monday is going to be the 20th. And you can expect some fairly time-sensitive cast because of that. So I'm going to ramp it up to close out this month. There will be Discord exclusive casts, just highlighting mostly Modern Horizon stuff, because I anticipate it's going to be a very busy time, so to speak. So, and just from being through this in the Discord and with a set like this, it's just going to have a lot of different storylines, and it's prudent to have those very time-sensitive casts. And I want that. I want a few of those to, at least meet the kind of quota of having the Discord exclusive casts, and for you all to have that content. So expect to kind of ramp up in there, because it hasn't really been, short of the Mythic Edition 3 saga, that was like where that ended up is completely ridiculous. But at this point, I think that chapter is at least finally coming to a close in terms of what folks are being compensated, what really happened, and unfortunately, kind of how that ended up. So we might be at least moving on from the support group. Served its purpose, and it was really great. But yeah. So recap: just tonight's going to be a catch-up night. I would appreciate you folks, if you have questions, just fire them off while I'm talking, and I can get a Q&A session in there. But look to more content in the future. And I'm really trying to, I don't want to disclose anything further, but I'm really trying to push for some changes for the podcast that will hopefully be very beneficial, at least to having an additional stable presence other than myself. I mean, I'm totally fine podcasting solo for you all, but I think, discussion is always the best, and it's certainly better to have a wide variety of takes for you all to get the most out of these casts. But I am still pushing for better things to keep happening, and ultimately in the hopes that it benef you know it's just better overall for you all. Not to say that I can't don't provide it myself, because I certainly do. We'll have more on that from Guillaume shortly. But yeah, I really am pushing for better things, and hopefully that happens. So that being said, we had a couple of really quick announcements. So there was like that one announcement for MTG Arena that, look, since MTG Arena was even in its inception, and I thought about it kind of at least as logically as I could as to where that IP could go and what the possibilities were. I feel like I was on a very short list as to what I thought they would like to do with Magic Arena, and it seems to me that that's the direction that I thought they would be going in. So they kind of announced in a very tempered fashion that they are going to be trying out what is, as best as easily as I could describe it, as Standard Plus. So a way for Magic Arena players to keep their standard cards longer, and and dump them into this kind of larger Standard Plus format. And you can kind of just think of it as like standard, standard plus. And I don't know if it will feasibly translate to paper, although it's an intriguing idea, akin to much of what we, you know, what flared up a while ago, like this like frontier stuff. That was always on the table. And I feel like Magic Arena is probably the best way to showcase a format like that, at least in a trial fashion. But I just don't see a way that this doesn't also translate to paper. So I don't know. I think they're definitely going to be testing it in Magic Arena. I don't think it will move to paper very quickly, but it just seems like it's so logical to have those two parallels. You just don't want a lot of confusion in an IP like Magic, where you have all these cards, you can play it on Magic Arena, and then it's like this super feel bad feeling when you have those same cards in paper and you can't play them. Yeah, it's not really extended. It's not even really like Frontier. It's mainly just so you can keep your standard cards for a little longer and have at least a little bit of a larger card pool. But I do think it's going to stick to primarily Magic Arena for at least a while. So that being said, I don't think there's anything actionable yet, mostly because it's going to be Magic Arena based. And though there is like some part of me that is looking at, you know, is it, you know, should we just hedge our bets on this? I don't know. There's just way too many staple cards that I'm looking at that are just not even worth grabbing because they're in standard right now. So I really don't want to feed that speculation beast. I just would probably stay away from it from now, because there's just a lot of other places to look for opportunities right now. There really is. I don't think we need to look in that corner for potential prospects when we don't even really know if this will stick around even on MTG Arena. Who knows? But I think it will. It pretty much has to, only because, you know, they want folks to extract as much value as they can out of that platform. So I do think it will stick around for a while. And I just don't see a reality that they don't also push that to paper at some point if it's successful. So that's my thoughts on that. I'm staying away from it. My official stance is I'm staying away from it right now. But, you know, there are some really lucrative cards, like after a while of rotation, that it's just like kind of hard to pass up. I'm not going to lie. But we'll move on. So where do you scrub for your info? Twitter, Twitch sites for MTGO results. What makes a homebrew card speculative? That's a great question. So what I like to do, at least in preparation, is, you know, I love looking at results. Results are really the best base metric that any of us can work off of. Obviously, success, you know, in practical terms of this game, it translates to likely financial gains. So it really is just results. I changed a lot of my, you know, how I pick and choose information and what out, you know, where I like to go for information from when I first started until now. But that's still a very consistent source of information that I still like to use today. I scour MTGO results. I try to mark down, I like outliers, but I also like consistent performers. Obviously, the more undercosted in terms of financial impact they are, the better. But I like to just keep tallying up results. And once that I see that, you know, an outlier deck, you know, that I will see maybe earlier in the month, I'm just using this as a hypothetical. More recently, you know, you can even see that crazy like Bioform deck with the Allosaurus Riders and everything. Those tend to be that, you know, also answer that last part of that question there, that kind of homebrew card speculative. It's when you start seeing those, but then you'll see it pop up like once earlier in the month, and then again later in that month or in the middle of that month, and then again. It won't be like a consistency through the week, as they post results, but you will see them over, you know, a few times over the months. That's when I really start to take notice. Because, you know, it's exactly like you just said. It just seems like this crazy outlier deck that could be this homebrew or someone's testing something. And now all of a sudden it had a result. I was like, okay, you know, check that off. You know, we'll see where that goes. Oh, it showed up again. Oh, okay. That's very interesting. Oh, it showed up like a third time. Yeah. This is something that we really need to talk about now, or I need to talk about on the podcast, or I'm going to talk about it in Discord, what have you. So, I don't believe they actually had a detailed announcement on the new format. I'm just going off really the conversations that we had in Discord. And I tried to kind of write everything down, for tonight. Also, additionally, to add back to that other question about where I scrub for info, notepads. I know it's like super old school, but I love just having like notepads close by. I like, you know, tacking them near. I have a, you know, 34-inch or 32-inch monitor, so I like tacking them along the bottom at least, you know, during the week while I'm ramping up to a podcast or I have talking points, you know, going into a new set or something like that. That's kind of how I stay organized. You know, I guess it kind of helps that, you know, I'm a college professor. So that's just how I operate. I'm sure other folks don't do that, but that's what I like to do. It's a little old school tactic to it, but yeah, that's really where I like to go. I don't really get into the social media aspect of this anymore. I really don't like to engage in that kind of discourse. And I found that not a lot good comes out of those, you know, Reddit, Twitter, whatever. It's just a lot of conjecture. And I like to stick to the facts. I am more than willing to miss out on X card. And I'm totally fine with that if I don't get the official kind of the official confirmation that I need. I don't like to do that at all. I've got burned in the past. I am not someone that engages in BNR discussion. I've done that in the past, and like 9 times out of 10, you're going to get burned. And so all of those factors just come into play. It works for me. If it works for you, then that's great. If you like to go a different direction, I can only tell you what I do. So it really is just official information and a few close acquaintances and contacts that I like to at least reach out to verify what I'm seeing. Short of that, I really don't engage in speculative stuff. I just really don't. If that's what you like to do, then that's great. I'm more than willing to not make a profit and miss out on all of that, just to make sure I'm working, and I know that I'm working with confirmed information, so then I can relay that all to you. It's just better as for me as someone that produces content, and I don't purport myself as someone that has this, you know, insider information, because I don't, and I'm not going to pretend like I do. I really don't. I don't do that. If you feel that you're confident enough in believing something that someone says, whether it be insider information, quote unquote, or not, that's your choice. I don't do that. I'd love some insight on, as a U.S. citizen, am I able to purchase from EU vendors since there seems to be a large disparity between prices on cards such as Michael's and Laz's, etc. So, coming from experience, I have. You know, form that connection with even insiders that are in the European market, where we would tap into, or I would tap into, you know, the that kind of European market and buy cards, have them sent over here. I'm going to tell you this: the dozen or so times that I have done it, I believe maybe 2 times it was actually worth my time. And I get it. Like the prices really do seem super lucrative when you're looking at Magic. What is it? Magic. What is it again? Magic Card Market. MCM. Yeah. MKM. It looks super lucrative as someone from the U.S. market to see like Myco Synth Lattice at, you know, €29.99. you just get destroyed by fees, by the shipping time, by everything. And by the time you even get the cards, at least for me, I was barely making, you know, it was okay percentages of profit, but it certainly wasn't like, you know, blowing me out of my chair. And I decided against to not do it anymore because it just wasn't worth my time. It just wasn't worth my time anymore. The only really time I, you know, out of the dozen or so times that I really, really successfully bought from Magic Card Market was when they unbanned Protean Hulk. And that wasn't even through MKM, actually. That was just a larger European store. But I bought... there was like this huge disparity between Merin the... Jeez, I am blanking on this card. Merin of Clan Nel'Toth, the anthology version. That was the only time I can even really remember that it was like super lucrative. I bought a dozen of them. They were really underpriced in Europe. They were selling for double and a half that, maybe even almost three times that amount here. And, you know, that was really the only time. I tried to do it all. Even the Commander stuff that seems like super lucrative because... not a lot of those prices translate, you know, to the U.S. And for whatever reason, it's just really not worth my time. It just really isn't. So that's my take on it from personal, experience on that. I know it does work. You just have to be really patient, and you have to really choose the right cards. I mean, if there's like these like huge disparity in cards, it's one thing, but You'll find that just the time it takes to receive the cards, the fees, if you're using PayPal, like, you just get destroyed. And what starts at like this super lucrative, the exchange rates, like what appears to be on paper, this very lucrative buy-in point doesn't end up in, it's just not practical once you factor in all of those different elements. Yeah. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. Did I miss a question here? Nope, I didn't. What are some of your favorite long-term gainers, old stuff sealed, all great stuff by with it? Yeah, great questions. And, you know, you'll find that I'm very transparent. I pride it, at least try to be that as from the very first moment that I started to create this kind of content. That was kind of my thing. I know folks aren't as forthcoming. They spout a lot of nonsense, in my opinion. And I try to stick to the facts. I try to stick what's a known quantity in terms of what information is confirmed. And I try to be super transparent. It's why I think one thing, at least for the podcast, no other podcast continues to provide infographics. You know, that's something at least that I feel like that I like to do. It's at least just better than, you know, these... dry, you know, the way they kind of, you can keep it updated can be changed easily. You would never know if, you know, these spreadsheets of all of these considerations that we have can easily be changed. You know, we have a snapshot. We don't, you know, Guillaume has a very amazing track record at keeping our data, snapshotting it, and having the infographics to have folks look exactly and have these look exactly at what we're providing in terms of content, how our, you know, considerations grow, how much money, you know, you would have gained by looking at and buying these cards. And, you know, it's all a transparent process. What are your favorite? So I don't really deal in sealed product. I think I've been fairly consistent in me saying that. I really don't deal in consistent, or I've been consistent in saying that I don't hold on to sealed stuff. The last time I even bought like sealed product was, I'm trying to remember. Well, short of like the mythic editions and stuff like that, I don't really count those. I don't deal in like just normal boxes. I likely will not buy Modern Horizon boxes. I like to deal with singles. It's just more volatile for me. And it's, you know, actually a little bit more fun for me. I like this as a hobby. I like, you know, that aspect of it. So just buying like five boxes of something and just like throwing it in my closet, I mean, it's like it has value, but it doesn't have value for me. Long-term gainers is always going to be reserve list stuff. I mean, it's like a very boring question or a very boring answer, but there to me, with when everything is on the table, and especially now that they've broken, you know, they broke into this realm of this idea rather of Modern Horizons, just the idea of it really just kind of eliminates everything off the table that isn't reserve list for me. There are certain pseudo reserve list cards. I mean, we're looking at long-term gainers, you know, Japanese alternate art planeswalkers, invocations, masterpieces, you know, judge promos, just like certain niche cards like that. That's all fair play. But short of that, there's just not much outside the reserve list. And I wouldn't even like to create, you know, options that I just don't fully back. Aside from playable real life reserve list stuff, it's hard to figure out long-term growth. Yeah. Like I said, there's like this kind of realm of pseudo reserve list stuff, and it's pretty much contained to what I just said. It's like judge promos, first time and only foilings, you know, commander type stuff, but also there's like these commander anthologies now, so that's a little tricky. But yeah, it's really just, you know, alternate art, Japanese planeswalkers, you know, invocation / masterpieces, judge promos, you know, that kind of stuff. Especially judge promos that are the only foiling of a reserve list card, looking at you, Morphling. That came up a long time ago. I made quite a good profit on those as well. Would you prioritize AB duels over A or AB power? That is a good one. You know, that is definitely stumping me right now. I don't know what I would prioritize. Probably duels, only because I mean, no one's going to be really practical. In all fairness, real and in all practicality, is really going to be playing these cards. But you know, I'm going to switch. It's definitely probably going to be power, only because I think duels are really great in terms of they actually have like this secondary use as being like these game pieces, and you can actually play with them. Power is still, in my opinion, this kind of, it has this collectability sense, and I think if folks are even in the market to be buying those, they are going towards that aspect of it as well. So I still think power still has this kind of aura and this kind of, I don't know, journey attached to it of owning all of this power. Yeah, I'm gonna go with power. It's hard to move. I get it. But if I had to prioritize one, I think if anyone is going to be in the market to buy these cards anyway, they're not playing with these cards. So it's mostly just having to do with this aura and this satisfaction in terms of being a collector of owning these cards. So I think, you know, all throughout Magic's history, the power still just kind of has this fairy tale, you know, whatever you want to call it, aura around it, into, you know, as in terms of owning it. So I think I would go that direction. Can you give us some baseless speculation for Modern Horizons 1? Yes, no. Go buy up, go keep buying up those scrying sheets. You know, yeah, you know what? I really don't know. I think I'm getting this feeling as we're marching closer to Monday, with everyone just all in on Modern Horizons. Look, I'm on board too. Don't get me wrong, because I was one of the ones that got spurned on not buying a Mythic Edition War of the Spark. My order was canceled, so I got, you know, I was ready, prepared to spend the money on that. So I'm turning around and allocating that to Modern Horizons. But just something about it, it's like, I'm this kind of person where if everyone's going one direction, I like to go the other direction. And that has always worked out for me. And especially in terms of the Magic market, like, I don't know. It never seems to pan out whenever everyone is agreeing on something. I can like count on my hand, maybe, like, how many times it works out. Yeah. So actually, preview starts Sunday. Okay. I'll have to update that. Okay, preview starts Sunday. I believe it's a stream. Okay, and then Monday we'll get additional previews. Okay, so Sunday. Wow, that sucks. All right, anticipate for a podcast Sunday. Oh, mock stream. Okay, thank you. Great. But back to what I was saying about Modern Masters, my real like gut reaction to this set is that, I'm very prepared to be wrong, but I don't think, you know, unlike War of the Spark, where I was very hyped for War of the Spark. I love the set. I don't think I really trashed the set. I thought the Planeswalker aspect was a little odd, but I was really curious as to how they pulled it off. I think it's not even going to be as influential as War of the Spark is on how much of an impact it's going to cause. I really don't think so. I think it will be super hyped. That is going to be no question. That will definitely continue on at least for a little bit. But I really do feel like this is more of a Magic player like fan service in terms of what they want to print and kind of making this a fun set, all these crazy new takes on these older cards. But I don't know. Like, I don't feel like it's going to have as much impact as, you know, like War of the Spark. I think there's going to be probably, maybe not minimal impact, but not much more than that. And a whole bunch of hype that goes ultimately nowhere. You know, maybe further down the timeline, we start to look back on Modern Horizons and more cards start affecting the metagame. But I just think it's going to be full of hype and not like this crazy all-in, you know, you're going to make millions off this set. Like, just buy all the boxes. I don't know if we're there. I really don't. Yep. Spoiler preview starts Sunday on the mock stream. That it will continue on Monday, and then it's 10 days of previews. Same time as Battle Bond. Yeah, and I think it's going to be a lot similar to Battle Bond and Conspiracy and all these sets where you have these like really cool cards. They're super fun. I feel like it will have probably more of an impact on Commander and those sets, if anything, but short of, you know, maybe a handful of cards, I don't know if it's going to have a ton of impact. I don't even think it's going to match War of the Spark. War of the Spark might be, to me, the even more influential of a set than Dominaria or any set that I can even name off in like recent history. It's that good. It is that good. I was actually very surprised to see War of the Spark have such an impact on every format as it did. I mean, I knew it was good, but it completely shattered my expectations. And I don't think any set, at least in the last 2+ years, can hold a candle to how much influence and impact the War of the Spark has. And I think that will go the same for Modern Horizon. But that's just my gut feeling. I'm totally fine with being wrong, and certainly willing to accept that come next week after we have a good look at all of these cards. But expect a podcast Sunday. Let's see. Do I have any other questions outstanding? When did I start here? 12. So yeah, we're coming up on 30, you know, 40 minutes. I think excellent questions. I think this was a great way to catch up. So to end this segment, and just recapping on a couple of cards here, Mycosynth Lattice really took off. I kind of posted that in chat for folks. It looks like Teferi, I'm just looking at really what's like in my face here. Teferi Temporal Archmage, the commander version, really took off as well. Legion Warboss, I mean, you don't need to persuade me for Legion Warboss. I was on that card for, you know, since I saw it. I thought it was a great card since from that point on. Looks like it's seeing a lot of play now in Standard and in Modern. Let's see. Tombstone Stairwell. That's an interesting one. Trinisphere. Yep, we talked about that in Discord as well. Narset, Parter of Veils. I mean, that just goes without saying. We were discussing that card right from the first results of SCG. Foils were absolutely incredible. I believe when even Stu, Chris, and I talked about them on podcast, they were around $13 to $15. Obviously, they skyrocketed since then. Just an incredible card. Multi-format appeal, multi-format influence. This is what I'm looking at for this week. And it's already It's already kind of on the move, but I feel, yeah, see, it's already on the move the past week. I'm liking Pact of Negation, but there are three printings, but I feel like this is, we're, I'm like an 80-20 percentage on us not seeing a Force of Will reprint, or a, you know, first to print, like, modern, however they're coining this. So I think, like, Pact of Negation's the kind of runner-up here. I've looked at all of the, man, I've looked at MTGO results for, like, the past week. I cannot really tell you why this is moving so much. I also really like Goryeo's Vengeance still. I know I talked about that card. I think I even threw it up there as a card, you know, as a card to consider, like, probably a few weeks ago now. That card just is just something that I'll always have a, you know, a note on, because whenever, and especially because these sets that come out like Modern Horizons, there's always that potential that this card just like goes absolute berserk. And it really does feel like it has seen increased play with the inclusion of the boar. I that has popped up in those, you know, Goryeo's Vengeance, Grizzlebrand, Grizzle Shroll, whatever you want to call it. So I do like Goryeo's Vengeance. They're like super cheap. I just want to double check that. I know they've definitely gained like over the past month. They are like $6, $5-6. I think that's a pretty good spot for them. What I really do like, where are, let me see really quickly. Okay. So that's a, no, that can't be right. Okay. Whew. I was going to say the War of the Spark Karn foils. I feel like they're already at a pretty good spot, you know, $40-50. But I just have this feeling they have room to grow there. This card is ridiculous. I mean, it really is even better than everybody thought like it would be initially. It is definitely real. Missed out on my Narset from TNT. Order got canceled for some reason. Man, that sucks. Sorry. No, I don't think buying into Warboss now is a good idea. What is Stoneforge Mystic at now? Yeah, I think they're around, what, $25, $30? No, I think they're more than that now. I don't think they rebounded as much as I thought. Let me just see. Yeah, they're like $30. I'm just leaving that on the table. I'm sorry. I'm not getting into that. Yeah, so I think those are a few cards to consider. I think they were already on the list, but I wanted to re-look at them. I believe there was also some discussions about the kind of continued, this kind of accelerated interest in the Niv-Mizzet Reborn in Commander. I know it kind of got overshadowed by Feather by, you know, quite a good margin, but I believe that's also gaining some steam. I saw a good one. I saw a really good one in there. Pillar of Paruns, which is sitting at, ooh, $10. Yeah, so this, oh, near mint. They are gone, so never mind. Okay, so you folks were definitely at that before I was, or before I even brought it up. So, yeah, I think we can just table that. All right, folks, if there's no other questions, we will pick this up Sunday. I will have a better sense at where I'd like to be in terms of cards I would propose for consideration. I think, you know, pretty much most of the stuff that we've already talked about in Discord already. I just wanted to kind of recap on that. But, you know, I appreciate everyone coming out tonight. I'm going to end it there, but we are going to pick this up Sunday. That will be a Discord exclusive only, and we will be going over Modern Horizons. And yeah, I think this has been a good catch-up cast, great questions tonight. So really appreciate you, insiders, and I will see you all Sunday. So take care, good night, and thanks for bearing with me.